Hi, you're here with Jay Lotus and Petey Pete.
Hi.
We've got Cynthia Papalentini here as a guest for the first half of our show.
For the WGXC afternoon show.
On Tuesday in Catskill. So how are you, Cynthia? It's good to see you.
I'm very well. Thanks for inviting me, Jay.
You're welcome.
I'm happy to be here.
Well, it's good to have you here. This is our first show, so this is my first ride on the radio train, and it's just really great to have a longtime friend here sitting beside me who is involved in many very interesting things in the world, and I'm going to have her first talk a little bit about Ayurveda and healing.
Thanks, Jay. Yes, Ayurveda is a healing form from India. It's thousands of years old, and it actually is very, in nature, it wants to be preventative. So what Ayurveda plans to do is keep us healthy ongoingly. And the belief is there's room for every mode of healing in the world, and for Ayurveda, it is how to take care of yourself now and when you need something more severe, like getting hit by a truck or possibly being in a serious situation, then allopathy is great. So mainly Ayurveda talks about us as having biological humors or constitutions that are called Vata, Pitta, Kapha.
So I'm thinking that you're talking about Ayurveda as an alternative to allopathy, or rather Western medicine, yet is Ayurveda used like that throughout the world as an alternative?
No, in India and in Asia it is a primary form of healing. In the Western world we have the thought of it as an alternative health. I believe they go hand in hand, actually. There's room for both, and we use them for different reasons. Mainly, we want to stay healthy, calm, clear, and in good repair, and so Ayurveda does that. And what Ayurveda wants to do is take a look at ourselves, understand who we are in regard to our particular constitutions or makeup, and take care of our lifestyle, our food, our exercise, and the way we view the world, because it also has a portion of the mind involved as well.
Could you tell me a little bit about the constitution types and tell our listeners something, because they've probably heard about Pitta, Vata, and Kapha, and are wondering what this is all about.
Sure. You probably know all three, and everybody will recognize themselves as I speak a little bit about them. So there's the Vata personality, and she or he is very bright, very clear. She's the one that has a very large view of the world. What do we want to do? How far can we see? How far can we go? They're usually in shape, in body shape, tall, thin, wiry, and they have an enormous sense of future thinking. Within that future thinking, there's also an enormous amount of excitement in, let's get there. Their food that they like to eat is mainly greens. They have a sense of wanting to be light. They have a sense of being clear. They have a lot of energy. And you see them in organizations as CEOs or vice presidents, and they fill those kinds of places. Mm. You see them in the community and the neighborhood as starting things. Community centers, playgrounds, school events, and those are your Vata folks.
Okay, so we'll all keep our eyes open for those Vata folks.
Yes, and also you may be one. So there you go.
Thank you very much.
Now, the thing about Vatas is they have great ideas, they have a lot of mobility, and they have a tremendous desire. However, they're not the ones that put it in place. And those are the pittas. And the pittas are very fiery. They're very let's do oriented. They're the ones that have the exact word at the exact time, the exact measurement of the couch, the exact way to perform a particular function. They will bring manifest whatever is in the air of the vata. And he or she is very important because she will get this thing moving, whatever the thing is. And so for them, you'll see they have a lot of fire. Their skin is very pale. They get very hot. Summer does not work well for them. They want to cool down all the time. You want to be a little bit aware of pittas as they get a little bit on the cranky side, because they're very sharp. They are the ones that actually know what to do and how to do it exactly the right way. And so they have wonderful opinions. So that person is one to have on your team. And you'll see those folks in organizations and places as the doers, the managers, the people that really bring ideas down from the air into fruition.
So the vata is kind of like the driving force of the vision, mm-hmm. that this, the vata is the vision, mm-hmm. and the driving force is the pitta.
Right, the driving force that gets it done.
Great.
They deserve to get it done.
And what about the kapha?
The kaphas are just a wonderful constitution. They're the stability of the three, and so you'll see that they're a little bit more heavy set. You'll find that they have the sense of really large heart. They will encompass and love the people in the community. They will encompass and love the folks in the family. They're the ones that think of the things to do that have the most effect on your emotions. So they have strong emotion and very much structure. They are the ones that will provide the structure for whatever project you're in. Kaphas also have that sense of rightness, that all is right with the world and we are all okay. They're usually larger boned. They're a bit heavier in physical makeup, and they love things like heavy foods and dairy kinds of foods and ice cream, and they like to be more sedentary than movement. The vatas will ring circles around them and will barely get them to move. So those are the kaphas, but everyone wants a kapha on their team, as they do hold that place of heart and soul.
So can you speak a little bit about these constitution types and who we are as we age? What can we expect to see? I mean, when you are talking about these constitution types, I'm thinking, wow, I have all three to a certain degree. Is that what's
yes
normal?
What happens is we are rarely a one of them. We are usually a mix of two of them. So you'll find you will be a vata pitta or a vata kapha, or you'll find a pitta kapha or pitta vata mainly. Once in a while, there's a person that's tridoshic or has all three. And part of what happens is as we age, we become more vata. And that is, we get more light. We become more spacious in our thinking. We become more gray. And we have a sense of that movement towards the spiritual part of life. That sense of, well, we've accomplished this and we've moved towards that, but really, what does it mean to become an elder? What does it mean to become more in line with the thoughts and philosophies of aging, or the spiritual, actually?
And so you're telling me that it's not all over because you get gray hair.
It is not all over because you get gray hair. Although our society, this is, you know, my humble opinion, does think it is. So we are in our cultural norm, as people think of us as, well, they're done, but we're not done.
You know, I do see that about, you know, as you get older, but I think a lot of it's specific to our society.
Yes.
And I know other societies, elderly people are revered and they're looked up to as their wisdom and their experiences. And I think that as far as our society, that it is. It gets to a point where it's harsh words, but it's almost like throwaway, that they're not useful anymore if you're older or so forth and so on, which I think is a sad occasion because I don't think it's always been like that. But I think that our society today has become in that order, you know, in the States and in Western culture.
Yeah, thank you, Pete. I would say that there's a lot of wisdom in our elders, and there's a lot more to becoming an elder than aging. You know, to truly be an elder means we've matured. And you can mature as a young person and you can mature as an old person. But what I see in our culture is that it's relatively unusual for someone to really focus on maturing themselves. And I see a lot of this focus in our 20-somethings now, and I love the questions that they're asking and even our 30-somethings, the conversations that they're willing to have are about maturing them because they see that they are the answer to what's happening in our world. You know, so I think that knowing one's constitution is pretty important in terms of knowing what weakens us or strengthens us, and perhaps what we need to eat and to really have fuel to do what we do in the world. And yes, I do see that throwaway aspect of society. And it's something that we need to change. I see it as age bias, age prejudice. And we have many different kinds of prejudice, like size, color, age. And these things can be devastating mm-hmm. to the people that they're being enacted upon. So I think that we're just going to quickly announce that you are listening to WGXC 90.7 FM. We are broadcasting this Tuesday afternoon program, and we are in the bottom floor of the Catskill Library with Dr. Cynthia Papalentini and Petey Pete, who is our technical fellow, and he is also in charge of putting together the morning program for Tuesdays in Catskill, or maybe not putting together, but programming. You can listen to us streaming on WGXC.org if you or someone you love has difficulty receiving the signal. And this show is about bringing in greater perspective and opening up, letting in more light. So you can go to the Facebook page for WGXC if you have any comments or anything you'd like to hear about. We're always happy to entertain what you have to say. Actually, it's quite important to us. And now we will go back to diet. I think that diet is a really important thing and that people need to know how to feed themselves.
Sure. Yes, I would just like to comment on, I agree with Pete as he spoke about the elderly and the in other cultures are much more revered. That is in fact true. And in this particular way of being in Ayurveda, they call it going into the forest, where you go for, as you are older, you go for a certain period of time and then come back and with your wisdom. And I know in many cultures that is the case. So I'm grateful for the youth that you speak about, Jay, that say we are now in the process of thinking about what it means to be older at this time. So thanks for that.
Right.
In terms of diet, diet is extraordinarily important. It's what we eat. It's how we eat. That is what fuels us. We are what we eat. And that sense of being very careful about our diet and how we digest our food and how our food works within our system. If we go back to the humors or the constitutions of Ayurveda, there are certain things that you want to be really careful about. So the kapha person who really does want to have dairy and eat ice cream and sit by the couch and have snacks really wants to be careful and stay balanced. And so having a balanced way of eating is probably the better bet. Knowing your constitution, knowing your exercise and lifestyle is very important in regard to moving through your own system.
Some of the older cultures, as well as, like I said, the other cultures treat their elderly different. I think some of the older cultures too also have diets that are much more mature speaking, healthier for you, than the American diets and so forth and so on. They do include the proper oils, the vegetables, the wines, and the proper drinks. And so I think that just goes with a history of being around a little bit longer, perhaps, and having the knowledge, the experience to do that. And so I think that does parlay into that, you know, the diet as far as the different cultures. Once again, I think it isn't a straight line, but there is a difference in cultures and how they actually do treat their bodies or their elderly and so forth.
Right. Part of what happens within Ayurveda is they do ask that we eat a plant-based diet. And so the plant-based diet is part of that scenario, mm-hmm. in regard to plant-based, mainly organic and local. And what is it, 25 miles around where you live, 25 to 50 miles around where you live.
That's very true.
And so that is what this diet is suggesting. And if people do choose to eat animal products, then they do so either sparingly or, again, within 25, 50 miles of their own natural environment. The sense of plant-based grains, particular herbs and spices, those things help the system move much more carefully and with much more efficiency than a heavy meat-based diet. It's also agriculturally sound. Mm-hmm. Part of what happens is we have a lot of hybrids. We use our soil very differently than some cultures, so we will plant and have plant rotation differently. So therefore, some of the grains remain more ancient in their form than they do now in our country. There's a little bit of controversy over the GMOs and non-GMOs presently, and so that doesn't occur in some of the cultures in which we're speaking. So it's plant-based mainly, grains and herbs that fit the constitution, because herbs do their job. Some are heating, some are cooling. So for a pitta constitution that's very hot anyway, then you would choose spices that will cool the person. And part of what Ayurveda wants to do is maintain balance. That's also with the mind. We live in a very fast-oriented society, and so very few things come to us as calming in nature, and mainly quick in nature, and mm-hmm. we are stressed by many different things. And so the other piece of this is a form either of meditation or mindfulness or ease through prayer or ease through that sense of going internally. It's really important that we know ourselves. Aristotle, Know Thyself, that speaks of those ways of, first, we want to actually know who we are, what we're doing here, and what are ways in which we can move through the world that can cause us to be more in balance with both our diet, our mind, the people around us, and that in whatever work we choose to do.
So if I can just interject in here a question. So when you're talking about the pitta person, for our listeners, in Catskill, Greene County, and Columbia County, and I hear that we also have listeners around Albany and Ulster County.
Actually, all over the world.
All over the world, because they can stream on WGXC.org. Anyway, my question is, what are these cooling herbs that you speak of for the pitta?
So cucumber is a very cooling herb. Aloe vera is very good for you to use in the hot summer kinds of weather. You want to find ways to use limes. You want to find ways to use lemon. And so those are some of the things that you want to think about as you move through your day. Pittas do not want to have things like hot spicy burritos with hot sauce and extra jalapeno. Although they might love that. But you're going to be seeking something that has a cucumber sauce with it, or something that's
so Mediterranean kinds of foods.
Mediterranean kinds of foods.
And what about the Vata? Am I correct in assuming that the Vata would want warming foods like what you just spoke of?
Yes, that's what happens, because Vata is very is cooling in nature, and so they really want hot, heavy. They're really light and airy and cool. So then you want to get into things like oatmeal or potatoes, or they can eat grains because they transform that food pretty quickly for them. And so those more heavy cooked foods is good for the Vata person.
So when you're talking about that sense of inner balance and emotional balance in a very hectic, high-paced world, are you talking about, aside from saying, okay, everybody, let's go do yoga, let's meditate, you know, spend at least 20 minutes on yourself every morning, instead of just that, food also has a very powerful impact on someone's psyche and how they navigate their worlds. Correct?
Yes, that is correct. And that sense of knowing what those are for you. So if you are, say, the kapha constitution and really want to eat more of the heavy, dense oatmeal, macaroni, cheeses, dairy products, and you know that's going to get you into that heavy state, which is lethargy and non-movement, then you want to infuse your diet with some greens. And you want to, you know, you're not going to run through the park. You know you can probably walk, though. And so that sense of taking into consideration what you will and will not do. We're a comfortable society. We like our comforts. And so it's a conscious way to move through your life, knowing that if you tip yourself out of balance by either eating or being in activities that will draw you to closer to, say I'm speaking kapha again, to that seated couch, quiet, then that's, you want to do a little bit of movement. Same thing with Vata. You know you get, and they call it Vata deranged, I think that's like perfect. So you know, like if you travel fast and you move fast and you're always running and you managed 5, 6, 7 projects at a time, and you eat your lunch in front of your computer, and you need to finish 3 things before 2 o'clock, and the time just doesn't match all your activities, then you're not the one that's wanting to eat the greens and light foods like fruits and watermelon. You want to settle down to something that has some weight to it, some grain, some quinoa, some amaranth, something that will give you some body.
Something that helps your mind to kind of settle back into your body.
Right, that sense of thoughtfulness and mindfulness. And it only takes a few minutes, even if you just sit and breathe. Even if you just sit and breathe. Everybody can do that at their desk, in their chair, wherever they are. You sit and you breathe for 2 minutes. Take 5 deep breaths, and then go on to your next thing. If you stop in the process of your day every 2 hours, take 5 deep breaths, have a sense of ease, and then move to the next thing. It's amazing that you find that things start to settle a bit in the world. If we can slow ourselves down, and it doesn't mean you have to do a half hour of anything or an hour or 3 hours of something. If we start small, and I think that's really the way it comes into us as structural change. And that's sort of what we're after, so that we can at least ease our mind for a moment and find other ways besides escape.
Great. Thank you so much, Cynthia. At the WGXC Tuesday afternoon show, broadcasting out of the Catskill Library this afternoon. And we've got Petey Pete and his fabulous picks. We have Dr. Cynthia Popolantini here talking to us about Ayurveda and balance. events and food, since many of you are headed out to do your shopping before you make dinner or putting dinner together. And in our very rushed fast food culture, sometimes it's really important what ingredients you throw in the mix. So it's wonderful to have you here. We hope you return. And for those of you around the world, you can have your friends tune in to WGXC.org and stream this radio show. We're here from 4 to 6 p.m. So now we're back to you, Cynthia. During our little break, we talked about a few things that we really need to hear about. So if you can bring us back.
Sure. One thing we spoke about, and Pete had a really, really good suggestion, and that is, how do we get into this way of eating or way of taking care of ourselves? And do we have to go from 0 to 60 in 2 seconds? And that isn't the case. Part of what happens is we want to start in a way that's conducive to our own systems. And we do live in a fast-paced world, but even if we try something, Pete's idea was, if I'm going to, you know, eat the way I usually eat, but know that it's not quite as good for me as possible, how about if I add one thing? So I'm a very big fan of going slow. And so, yes, I would add one thing. I would add a meal, actually. What meal would you choose that would help you begin to turn around in your food or your eating habits? I would begin the day with a cup of warm water. Begin the day with a cup of warm water. See how your day goes. I would add taking a breath couple of hours into your workday. Breathe 5 times, and that just slows you down a bit so that you can make your day more meaningful to you or more conscious. In even my world, I think of an 80-20 rule, and that is 80% of the time, eat the way, behave the way, use your practices the way that is really how you know to be. And 20% of the time, okay. So maybe we do have dessert. So yeah, maybe we have a glass of wine. Maybe we do.
So there's room for play.
There's always room for play.
So what you're saying is to affect a healthy change in your diet, and which translates into a healthy change in your body.
Correct.
Be gentle. Do it slowly, but make a small change.
Yes.
And then make the next change?
Yes, make a small change. When that's changed, what you're trying to do, or we are trying to do, is incorporate into our lives those things that will stick. So it's not a fad. It's an actual change of life. It's an actual change of diet. And it's an actual change of way of feeling. And so you'll notice you're going to feel better. Your food goes in, and you are responding to it by your form. Your body is behaving differently. Your mind is more settled. You have a sense of more ease. When you do those things, then you want to do the next step. The next step is you increase whatever it is you're doing, or increase to the next step.
Yeah. I think when I had talked, when we were talking during the break, to be a little more specific, when I've been trying to, and I'm not perfect. There's so many things. That
you're not perfect?
No, not at this point. But there's so much that you beat yourself up on, at least speaking for myself. And sometimes that defeats the purpose that you're trying to achieve. And you find yourself not, if just specifically with diet, you could have the Pop-Tarts in the morning, and you know this is, it affects you, and that you know that it might weigh you down, and like you had previously talked about. But I make a point now that I always have something good with it. I might have a peach if I'm going to have a Pop-Tart. And then by what you just said, too, that you realize the effect that it affects your body. Maybe you're more alert. Maybe you can handle emotions better. You don't go ballistic, for lack of better words, on somebody if they cross you in a certain way. Or there's ways that you are in more control of your body, and it's specific with that. And even especially now, this time of year, the fruits and vegetables are so good.
Yes.
You know, if you go to a store, they're luscious, they're big, and in the wintertime, not so much always, but this is a beautiful time. The harvest, it's getting toward the end of the season, but still there's time for certain fruits and vegetables, and
yes,
there's a lot of good reasons. And then, as you said, when you do that, you realize the effects it has on your body and the improvements that it might actually do or that it does to you. And then you try to increase that because you figure, you see that you're able to do this better than if you are sedentary or if you do eat certain foods that you know aren't as good for you. And all of that makes sense. It's very relative to one another.
Yes, and it's relative to the world around us. Two things I'd like to say. One of them is about seasonal eating. But the first thing is about what you were saying about being unkind to yourself or being down on yourself. A tenet in Ayurveda that I very love, and there's so many of them that hit the heart, it is do no harm to self. And so do no harm to self. So you fell off a bit, so the next day get back on. Or you went in a little bit of a wrong direction, just do a little course correction. So be kinder and more gentle. The other thing is about seasonal eating, and that is, you're so right on, Pete, that the fruits in the summer, the fruits, the lettuces, the arugula, the flowers, everything is
kale
for our
cucumber,
yeah, the kale,
tomatoes,
the cucumber, the tomatoes, the basil.
Peaches,
yeah,
it's true.
They're abundant. They're there. They're right. They're right, ripe for us. That is summer. The same thing in the fall. Then here we have our apples and squashes, the acorn squash and butternut, and those are the things we move into as summer moves into fall.
And I think some of the problem that therein lies is that, one, sometimes it's cheaper to get a hamburger than it is to get certain fruits and vegetables, honestly.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And sometimes it's easier to eat processed food. Society's been made that way,
yes,
where it's easier to eat the fast processed food, when in fact, when you and when you do that, it might be faster and easier to eat it, but it affects your life in a very negative way
that
the cause and effect is not worth the cheapness of it or the quickness of it in any respect.
Well, at this time of year, there are farmers markets. If you get to know your local farms, you can even contact your local farms and find out if it's not an organic farm, what do they spray? Do they spray? Maybe they just cannot afford to get certified as an organic farm, but they have really fine quality produce. And you can also buy shares of these farms that help the farms to grow that and help them to tend to the farm and do the things they need to do, and at the same time give you incredibly reasonable produce through the summer and the fall. And this includes fruits. So there are ways to get really high quality foods. And I know that our local supermarkets even try to carry organic foods, and they try to have the prices down. So it depends on the size of the market, but you don't have to run right out to a health food store. You know, that's where you're probably going to pay the most for these organic foods. But instead, you can run to your farmers and you can get to know their farms and get to know your community better.
And when I said hamburger, I meant like a McDonald's hamburger versus going to get proper beef at a grocery store. It's quicker and so forth and so on. And that's what leads into a lot of the problems that people face, is their lifestyle has led them into that.
Yes, I'm happy for the plug for community-assisted agriculture. I think that is a definite way to go. And where we live, stone's throw from farms, beautiful farms that are incredibly nutritious and are assisted by our community members. The other thing about the fast food that concerns me is whatever is in the fast food that keeps you wanting more fast food,
yes,
to me,
true,
is problematic.
The
and
chemicals.
So that sense of being moved towards that kind of eating rather than being sustained by the beautiful food that Jay was talking about, beautifully grown by people who love the soil and love what they're doing, and
right,
we are putting our time, energy, and money into assisting them to do that, is, to me, the heart of community living in these parts. So I'm happy to be here for that. And also to watch that addictive nature of things that aren't so good for you that you keep going after because you don't get satiated by them or satisfied by them.
Yep.
Or because people... Oh, so this is something that I wanted to ask you about, Cynthia, which is people with autoimmunity. How does Ayurveda
address autoimmunity, and we only have about 9 minutes until our news update. So if you would.
Well, thank you. It's hard to talk about anything about Ayurveda in nine minutes. So I'm going to invite myself back sometime.
That's open invitation.
Thank you. But that the sense of taking care of oneself in regard to all that we've been talking about this afternoon. Know yourself. Know who you are personally. Know your own proclivities. Really understand your own qualities. Really know the qualities of your mind and the qualities of your body. Once you know yourself more, then you're going to be really more careful in understanding in everything, not just in food that you choose, but the activities in your life that you choose. What's in my best interest? What suits me better? What kind of people do I choose to be around? Because that's the energy, what I call the petri dish of our own nutrition. We choose to be around loving, kind people. We choose to be around situations that are less toxic rather than more toxic. That includes movies that we watch. That includes books that we read. That includes, what are we doing at 9 o'clock at night in front of a computer? All the kinds of things. Nothing's bad. It's just everything in the sequence or moderation in which it makes our body thrive. Part of knowing Vata Pitta Kapha to me is who's more inclined to what? And then moderating on it so that we have a sense of knowing our own time, space, and body. Our minds are very active, and that sense of being able to come to ease in our mind and in our sense of self is very important. The right food, just as you were talking about, Pete, really helps that. The right activities really help that. Being around the right people really help that. Thinking about what is my work in the world? Are we happy with our work in the world? Does that feed us?
Right, and when we get home from doing whatever it is we do outside of our homes, what are we doing at home? Are we cracking open a book? Are we playing a video game? What are we doing? Are we kind of taking ourselves out of ourselves to give ourselves a break, or are we doing something that truly gives us pleasure and nourishes us? Mm-hmm. So I think that for some of the teenagers and some 20-somethings, playing games are nourishing and really help them to relax and stimulate them in many ways. And for some folks, that would be overwhelming.
Right. Nothing bad. It's just a matter of the cocktail of which we place them within our own being and how we move through the world with those particular occurrences of things. We also need to have fun, and that is also a relaxation. We don't think so much about adding that in on a daily basis or a weekly basis. Where's the fun quotient? So the sense of coming to ease and coming to know ourselves is really important.
What would you say regarding community and Ayurveda? And what I'm talking about is in terms of a community that comes out and strolls around in the evening, and people who know each other, greet each other, are happy to see each other, versus, you know, a community that really doesn't do so much together. I'm encouraging community here. What would you say about that?
Well, I think that's a cultural thing, as Pete brought up at the very beginning. There's a strong cultural norm in many communities and ethnicities, and that sense of it's not just la familia or family, it's the sense of extended family. And if we don't have that ourselves, then we can easily create that, and that's what I think is really needed. And I like the plug for that too, Jay. That sense of how do you construct your community, and how within the community does one behave? And it's all a matter of moving towards a larger and more authentic view of who you want to be and how you want to connect people. But within that, that's where health comes in too. In Ayurveda, everybody shares everything. I'm in a particular community of Ayurveda. Everybody shares their herbs. Everybody says, hey, I just found this new thing that's going to help with digestion. Or, hey, I just found this to put on my, sprinkle on my salad to make it more cooling. There's that sense of being able to come to each other for the answers to questions.
I just wanted to add to it. And
hi, Pete.
Hi. It might sound cliche or whatever, but it just starting with yourself, you know, actually maybe thinking that you're going to go out and join everybody together, that could happen, but could very well not happen that way. But just going out and when you're walking down the street saying hello to somebody,
yes,
and getting that small connection, because there are so many people that have nothing, and they go home to nobody, mm-hmm. and just, you'd be surprised by, and I mentioned this before on my program, just by saying hello to somebody and really meaning it, the look on their face is one of surprise, like, oh my gosh, somebody said hello or to me, or how you doing, and to see the delight on their face makes a difference to yourself. It brings something inside you
right.
that is fulfilling too, and I think that's a start, you know?
Yes,
just to go with that.
Part of the gift of community is that it nourishes in multiple directions, and it's so important to walk around mm-hmm. in a community so that faces can become familiar. Especially, I see it as the more north we go, like, you know, in the Caribbean, people are outside. Mm-hmm. In the Mediterranean, people are outside. As we go north, people are used to locking themselves away for the winter.
Right.
So, you know, to be cold, to be warm and kind of snugging up. And if you live alone and have no pets, that can be a really torturous time. So we really need to be aware of the people we live around and tend to them as well.